Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. To everybody tuning in, thank you for listening. However you're listening on this episode, got a special leap year edition of the show. I mean, leap years only come around once every 4 years, so I had to drop something to mark this as a day in history. Getting into the gauntlet of news and entertainment, all that and much more after this brief message.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? I got a question. Boy, hey, your birthday's right around the corner, Dom. What you got planned for, bro?
Yeah, bro, I had a pretty lit birthday weekend. Spent it down in the Big Easy, aka New Orleans, with my old lady. Just really gallivanting about the city, eating delicious food, seeing all the sights, getting plenty of walking in. You know what I'm saying? The full nine, bro. Canal Street Adventures, seeing Currency with the Lambo pulled out. You know what I'm saying? Some of the old schools, bro. It was really, really a nice and much needed getaway. And apparently left just ahead of the coronavirus showing itself. So I missed everything. You gotta feel blessed and highly favored, especially in these days and times. Up next, we have the spoken word selection for this week's episode featured on the official Dom J WordPress page, officialdomj.wordpress.com. This week's spoken word selection, Brown Rabbit, coming up next. Brown Rabbit, seeing you consistently amidst foliage and rummage. Burst mode photos for the collection. Thank you for letting me observe you at breakfast. Carrots and lettuce on me for a future connection. Sunrise timed alarm clocks. Early morning greetings, the air filled with dog breath and exaggerated yawning. Times I don't see you noted in my memory, fawning. Nonverbal instances, curiosity and simple happiness. A moment such as this gets added to nature's inspirational playlist. Brown Rabbit. So in music for your consideration this week, I thought I'd flip it a little bit, give y'all something that I'm writing to right now, drawing a little bit of inspiration from Drake's Is There More, as well as Jadenna featuring Mr. Easy, Zodi. Music for your consideration. Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwood, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, staph, E. coli, MRSA, salmonella, strep, kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes. So with all the germ spreading going around, I thought that ad would definitely be something to remind people about cleanliness. Surfaces, your face, your hands, clean that stuff, y'all. Protect yourself. Whether you want to get shots and all this and that, that's your own business. But protect yourself from spreading germs, protecting others. Cleanliness next to godliness, everybody. Cleanliness next to godliness, all right? Now, with that out of the way, let's get into some of the voicemails from this week's show.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? I got a question. They're considering canceling the Olympics. Oh, Lord, this coronavirus is killing niggas. Oh, shit. They gonna cancel the Olympics? This shit only comes once every 4 years. So what we gonna do?
Nah, bro, I did see earlier in the week that they were thinking about that, but the organizers of the 2020 Olympics did push back on the speculation that the coronavirus, quote-unquote, epidemic could lead to the cancellation of the Summer Games, even though an IOC official appeared to suggest otherwise. So they released, you know, looking at news on NPR, they were discussing how they're going to continue to collaborate with all the relevant organizations that carefully monitor any incidents of infectious diseases that could potentially spread, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you got a lot of cause for concern. I'll say that. That's why I queued up that Clorox ad, because again, people, cleanliness next to godliness at all times. But I think it's one of those situations where if you're thinking about how do communicable diseases spread so easily, it's in mass gathering sort of situations. So it's tough, man. I think if it keeps going this way with it sort of spreading globally in particular cases, it's going to impact attendance, which is going to impact potential sales, the backings of it as far as fandom goes, because their, you know, favorite athletes aren't going to be there, or the travel to get to and from is going to be such a hassle. It could impact all of this, no doubt. But for now, it seems like they're going to move forward with the Olympics, because like you said, man, once every 4 years to potentially cancel it would be devastating on a global scale. So definitely a story to keep an eye on.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? I got a question. Week 3 of XFL just wrapped up. Have you got a chance? What's your take on it? Have you had a chance to look at it? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Okay, so I did check out more of the XFL as promised from the last episode, and I definitely like it for having some interesting and individualized sorts of practices put into place. You had a QB, I think it was Matt McGloin, dude used to be in the NFL years ago, but he took a shot at his head coach during the halftime interview when they were getting beat on, talking about they need to go to talk to him and figure out what the problem is because he needs to play better, was what the head coach said. But the quarterback turned around and threw a pick six on the next drive in the middle of them getting beat on, and he just said they needed to change the entire game plan. Now, while you may think that's a very candid statement, I like that the XFL is interviewing players after these sort of impact plays are happening, big hits, interceptions, touchdowns, those sorts of things, because you get that raw reaction. Now, that's a double-edged sword, because, you know, when that adrenaline's pumping in those sorts of moments, you could be liable to say any sort of thing, so you have to take that with a grain of salt in that respect. But he then was benched after going off on the coaching staff and the game plan, that the entire thing was embarrassing as an offense. But it's like, if you're the quarterback out there, you should have enough wherewithal to be able to change bad plays to good plays. Does he not have that sort of, authority at his disposal? If not, that is very unfortunate. But yo, these halftime interviews or game impacting play sort of interview moments, I definitely am a fan of that. I think for them, viewership, I don't know how that's going to play out. I doubt it's getting as many views as it did from the initial weekend, but I think it's got its own niche, and so I don't know if they're going to call this a success as the weeks continue down the road with NFL free agency about to kick off, Major League Soccer coming back into the picture, which is going to impact their live national television schedule because ABC and ESPN being under that same umbrella, they're going to be having some opening day MLS games that are going to move the XFL to like ESPN2, which is fine because you have multiple networks, but still not having that prominent spot on basic access television will surely impact how they do this week. But I definitely think it's got some unique things happening, but you got March Madness coming around the corner. Ooh, with the NCAA, that's going to take some views. So we'll see. We'll definitely see if this is impacted down the road as far as viewership goes. But I'm intrigued.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? I got a question. The Bucks just officially clinched a playoff berth. Some people say the East is weak. I mean, we did just finish All-Star break like last week.
I think it would be hard to say the East is weak, to be honest. With Milwaukee clinching, like you said, a playoff berth, already having 50 wins, they're like 5 or 6 games clear of the Lakers right now, who have the best record in the West. And then if you're just looking at the overall standings of the league, I think like the Raptors are up there, the Celtics are up there, they're playing better as of late. Then you have the Denver Nuggets with the same record as the Clippers. So I think, you know, those top three teams in the East and West respectively, I think that both divisions have a strong shot of being potentially in the finals. I like Milwaukee coming out of the East because I think Giannis, the way he's just gotten better each and every year, winning the MVP last year, looking like he might do it again this year, I think devoid of injuries to the supporting cast, I don't see Philadelphia responding and stopping him. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are both injured right now. It's going to take time for them to get back to playing just average basketball together because seemingly they were better when the other one was out. Then you have the Raptors, who are still coached, a very well-coached team, still a lot of talent there with Siakam, Lowry, those guys, but they don't have Kawhi. So do I think they'll be able to have that same depth of defense to face Giannis and the Bucks and stop him again this year? I don't know, but that's the most dangerous team, I think, to stopping Giannis from reaching the NBA Finals from the East. Like I said, I'm a Lakers fan. I got the Lakers reaching the title with AD and LeBron. Hopefully both of them can get some rest down the stretch. They added one of the Morris twins, which is cool for some depth. I want Caruso to continue getting more playing time down the stretch. And outside of, like I said, the Clippers, do I see the Nuggets really standing in the way? No, not really, because they're a good team, but they don't really have that person that you're saying is to be afraid of. Is anybody afraid of Nikola Jokic? I don't really think so. Are you afraid of Jamal Murray, Paul Millsap? I don't really think so. So I think outside of the Clippers, now the Rockets can present them with a good challenge, I think. Playing the small ball has been working for them as of late. You know, you got Harden and Russ both looking like the former MVPs that they are, putting up good numbers. So it's interestingly enough working in the regular season, but that's never been a problem with anything touched by D'Antoni as far as winning games in the regular season goes. All the way back to his Phoenix Suns days, Steve Nash and Amar'e Stoudemire, they were great in the regular season. Winning in the postseason, not so much. The Lakers, not so much. What's going on now? I see James Harden and Russ being the two best dynamic players to go all the way through the Clippers and Lakers and reach the title, or the finals rather, and face the Bucks for the title? I don't know. No disrespect to the Rockets, definitely fun to watch. Love most things Houston. I just still cannot buy into this potential small ball lineup with no center paying off when the game slows down. Half court sets are more important. Now you got Giannis and Harden trading barbs on the internet, which is fun. We'll get to see them play in a few weeks to really decide. You got Harden saying, I wish I could just be 7 feet and run and dunk. Not really, I guess, paying attention to how fluid on his feet Giannis is, how much better his handle's gotten to where, even if you know what's coming, not a lot of people stopping this man from attacking the rack. But it's all good. I like that competitiveness, so hopefully we get some good matchups as we go down the stretch.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? I got a question. Zion Williams, number one draft pick, got the New Orleans Pelicans playing lights out right now. Actually got them close to being the number 8 seed in the West. Do you see them making the playoffs? And so, if they do make the playoffs over the Grizzlies, is Zion Williams the Rookie of the Year?
You know, the Pelicans are hooping right now. Do I think Zion, though, would deserve Rookie of the Year over Ja Morant just because they might sneak into that AC? Not really. I think the supporting cast around Zion has done the majority of the lifting, you know, him missing some odd 40-plus games to really keep things around, 500. But I don't really see either the Pelicans or the Grizzlies as, people that might even pull off an upset in the first round. We got to see Zion versus LeBron this past week with the Lakers playing the Pelicans. Good back and forth game. The Pelicans really hung in there, mostly because of Zion making impact plays when they were getting down from a few buckets. You had LeBron coming out after halftime and splashing a few threes to really stretch the lead. But then as soon as LeBron goes off the court, the lead gets ate up. And they even Pelicans even end up taking the lead for a brief moment there. So I think he's playing great. Do I think he would deserve Rookie of the Year? Nah, man. Ja Morant's been putting up some nice numbers from the point guard position. And if you think about how basketball is played, with his size, his passing skill, the growing offensive threat and arsenal of moves that he can display from that position, I still would have to give him the nod because he's putting up good numbers. And the Grizzlies are, like you said, still in that same 8th, 9th spot in the West, still kind of in that playoff hunt. So I think despite either of them really making the playoffs, or if neither of them make the playoffs, they're both going to be players to definitely watch for the next 10 years. DeMarcus Cousins being gone from the Lakers, interesting move. But like I said earlier, we got the Morris brother, the other Morris brother, on the roster. So I think that's a good forward spot pickup to give LeBron some rest, hopefully down these next few weeks as we get towards the end of the year. But I definitely think Zion may not win Rookie of the Year, but he can definitely be on the watch list for the all-rookie team, and then obviously potentially NBA third teams in the future.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? I got a question.
Well, apparently I got a lot of questions, but
you keep hearing me. Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Are you disappointed with the results? Are these were the results you were expecting? To be honest, Deontay let me down in Black History Month. But that's just me.
Bro, appreciate the energy, man. And I got no problem with you having questions, bro. The people got questions, I got some answers. I kind of share that sentiment, no cap, with being sort of let down. I was cheering for Deontay Wilder off the strength of, like you said, it's Black History Month. This man has been undefeated, throwing some haymakers from that right hand of his. But I guess he was just outmatched. I kind of should have predicted this from the first fight going so long, him dropping Fury in that first fight, but Fury popping back up with enough gusto to then make it a decision and the very end the first time around. But this time around, it just seemed like from the beginning that dude was huge, bro. Like, they're both two very large size gentlemen's paws, being like well over 6'5 and whatnot, 250. But Deontay jumped up weight by almost 20 pounds to try and, I guess, be able to go toe-to-toe and make the punches even heavier with this guy. I didn't like that when I found that part out at the weigh-in. But then he then proceeds to get dropped on two separate occasions. You got people disputing whether his, you know, when he got hit in the head behind the ear and his ear is bleeding, the eardrum isn't bust, but of course it's going to impact his equilibrium throughout the fight. So it's like, for him to go on and persevere for some more rounds of punishment speaks to the warrior that he is. I didn't like the post-boxing. I won't call it an excuse, but you could see it as an excuse that he gave with his, you know, very over-the-top entrance to the ring, the suit weighing him down by like an additional 40 pounds or some crazy-ass number in that regard. I think you don't got to come out and say that afterwards, bro. You don't got to tell people that impacted your legs and all this and that. Just, you know, you got beat. You got outboxed. I got to give Fury props for being the better boxer versus Deontay being the better puncher and looking for that punch to just drop him with. I think that if before they had this potential third matchup, if he can somehow become a more polished boxer, it'll make for a better rematch. But if not, bro, it could be more of the same.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners?
I actually don't got a question this time. Wow, that's a first.
I'm actually back to give a shout-out. Shout-out to University of Oregon's women's basketball player and star, Sabrina Ionescu. I probably just butchered her last name. First player in D1 history. Yeah, you heard that right. D1 history, men or women. 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 1,000 assists. Shout out to you. This is crazy. I know probably a lot of people don't watch women basketball. I watch it. You know, I grew up watching some stars. I'm talking about the Maya Moores, the Simone Augustus, the Candace Parkers. And they ain't even do this. She's a bad woman. Watch out there now.
Yo, definitely shout out to Sabrina, bro, for being the only, like you said, basketball player, men's or women, in NCAA history to have 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, 1,000 rebounds in her career. She's like the NCAA all-time leader in career triple-doubles. A phenomenal women's basketball player and just basketball player in general to be accomplishing such feats. Definitely shout out to her. And I know it was a very emotional week. It is an especially emotional time, her being close to the Bryant family, and she spoke at the memorial service for Kobe and Gianna earlier this week as well. So to be still able to go out and put up the sort of performances she's doing, man, definitely want to shout her out in that regard. The memorial itself, you know, I think it was one of the most beautiful sort of homegoing public ceremonies and celebrations of life. They was at the Staples Center this past week out in LA honoring Kobe and his daughter Gigi, as well as the others that were lost in the helicopter crash. And I think it was, you know, it's hard to say something is well done when you're discussing this sort of tragic incident, but in the sense of you feel the love really in the air from all the guests sharing their stories, from the, you know, the heart-touching stories from Vanessa Bryant talking about still her husband and daughter, to Shaq getting up and talking about his relationship with Kobe, Gina Auriemma, women's basketball coach at UConn, talking about the impact Gigi was potentially going to have and the relationship of being a girl's dad, that Kobe had really taken on that moniker of trying to impose, you know, some of the best basketball that he could for the next generation. I think it was just all around, man, a really beautiful celebration. I'm glad I got to watch it. It's one of those moments where you feel, or at least I felt like, I didn't want to watch it to a degree because, again, bringing up flesh wound, you never know how you might respond emotionally at a certain moment, but you enjoy sort of having that experience and not feeling necessarily alone, even if you are, so to speak, because you're having this, like I said, man, the Staples Center, it's packed. You have millions of people watching at home, all in this sort of same space. And I think it's an emotional time that, again, I think was well done. You don't know how people are going to respond when you ask them to get up there and talk about something potentially again for the second or third time. I don't know how I might respond in that sort of moment, being able to keep yourself together. You have people like Diana Taurasi speaking as well. I mean, it was, I thought Jimmy Kimmel was great as far as, a host. I don't even know if you want to be called a host of this sort of situation. But again, just a beautiful ceremony and celebration of life again for Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. May they rest in peace, man. Okay, so when I initially started recording this, the coronavirus hadn't made the sort of impact it's making now, with more than 1,000 confirmed cases here in America. As far as how it relates to sports, I know I had spoke about the potential cancellation of the Olympics just based on the trajectory that was happening on the eastern side of the world, but taking into consideration how now we have multiple reported confirmed cases in the NBA, with Jazz players Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell testing positive for the coronavirus, the NBA promptly postponed the rest of its season for the time being. The NHL followed suit shortly thereafter, doing the same, and the NFL is reducing its player personnel and essential people numbers over the time being for now as well. So it's really starting to impact a lot. I mean, you have real big money events being canceled. You got Coachella being postponed, the rodeo in Houston being canceled, South by Southwest in Austin being canceled. I had a work trip coming up for a week stay in Austin. They canceled that fast. You know what I'm saying? Working in the education space, I'm working for a company that has a lot of, you know, people coming from other countries, especially the Asian side of the world especially. And so, you know, they're following and sending out multiple emails about, you know, washing your hands, staying clean, cancellation of, you know, mass gatherings and things of that nature. So it's really, really starting to take a hold. And I think it's important. And I like the idea of people putting business behind public health. Because, yes, while it was a ping, all capitalistic things were going to continue operating in some sort of capacity. People are starting to see, you know what, maybe continuing to gather mass crowds of potentially infected people is not the best idea for the time being. You've got reduced domestic and international flights happening, stock market falling consecutively after the bells being rung on different days. It's getting pretty nuts out there, man. In politics, amid people such as Tom Hanks and Rita Hanks coming down with the coronavirus in Australia, you have other countries like the U.S. taking its own sorts of precautionary measures, unilateral decisions, if you will, as the president thought it was a good idea to institute a travel ban for Europe. Not necessarily the U.K., however, don't really understand how that works. And apparently was a very one-sided decision in that aspect. But you have countries quarantining themselves from other countries across the globe. So at this point in time, I understand it in that sort of context. They are allowing people of U.S. citizenship to return. Hence some of that good old travel cross-Atlantic pollination of contagions. Europeans know a lot about that. But I think it's going to make for a very interesting few months with this being at the forefront of a lot of people's minds, as it may not be subsiding just yet. If Italy and its 12-day progression are any indication, the worst could be ahead. But in other politics outside of this coronavirus presidential election, we now have just a few candidates, those being goddamn Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Now, if you know me, I've been saying feel the burn for quite some time. I've been saying it and I will repeat it again, but it appears Joe Biden is picking up plenty of steam with big wins in Mississippi, Missouri, Michigan recently, but I am of the belief that he may get mollywopped when it comes to battling with Trump. Now, I hope at the end of the day, of course, I'm going to vote in my own best interest, as everyone should after doing their due diligence and research, but damn, bro. Joe Biden is not bringing back Obama. I want to reiterate, Joe Biden is not bringing back Obama. Even if he gets a black endorsement from a previous opponent in Kamala Harris, whose best wins on the campaign came from attacking Joe Biden over old legislation. I digress, man. That's just part of the game. She's trying to look for her next seat at the table. And I respect it from the hustler's perspective, but you can keep it when it comes to what's best for the country. I'm feeling the burn. I don't know if the country's going to feel it, but they're feeling something right now. So I've been trying to put this episode out for a minute, but because there's so much breaking news, I have to come back and keep recording. So the NFL now. After, like I said, the NBA has postponed its season, the NHL following suit shortly thereafter. The NFL has no plans to move the start of their league year, which will be March 18th, next week, 4 p.m. Eastern, despite everything that's currently happening. But they are in plans, like I said earlier, minimizing at-risk, you know, exposure. But the March Madness tournament that was scheduled to begin next week as well, with all of the conference championships going on this week, all five of the power conferences have come to the collective decision to not have their college basketball tournaments. The A-10, ACC, CUSA, MAC, WAC also called theirs off. The Big East somehow is playing as scheduled, but your Power 5 SEC, the Pac-12, your Big 10, your Big 12, and the ACC, they up out of here, man. So This is pretty crazy. Kind of watching this continue to evolve, the effects it's going to have, like I was saying earlier, on the economy, causing people to panic, buy things. I mean, you want to stock up on essentials? Sure, but I would not stock up on them to the point where you're hoarding and preventing others from also getting essentials during this time. And go crazy, go stupid, panic. No. During this time, you want to stay calm, people, okay? Hopefully, you are practicing good hygiene, cleanliness before this, and thus have continued to do that in cases where you know you're going to be in mixed company with people who are not doing the same, which means washing your hands aplenty after touching various surfaces, washing over seats on airplanes before you sit in them. You see, they're already restricting airfare travel, but that's something everyone should be doing in the first place. You know how often I just sit in my seat and cringe? As somebody who's OCD and meticulous about being clean, I sit in my seat and cringe anytime I hear somebody cough or sneeze, like verbally, and you know they ain't really cover up nothing. It's like, bro, we could throw hands, really, if that's how you feel about it, in comparison to caring about your own life versus caring about everybody else's life. But anyway, stay calm, everybody. Continue to go about your business. If you can afford to still be paid and not work, hell yeah, I'm going to advise you do that. Like I said earlier, my job is canceling various group outings, but they still going to be sending these checks. So that's just going to be what that's going to be. But, like I said, working around children, you want to minimize exposure. If you think you may have been in mixed company, apparently we got people hopping on flights knowing they might be carrying it. Boy, people are just disrespectful, man. So please, y'all, if you're listening to this, take care of yourself. Cleanliness next to godliness, everyone. Until the next episode, thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the Official Dom J Radio Show, episode 16, aka Hygiene Season, Worldwide Madness. Gonna be crazy, man. It's shaping up to be quite the 2020, and not in all the best ways. But anyway, until the next episode, in the meantime, in between time, stay blessed. Drink plenty of water still. Mind your business, but peep the news, man. You want to stay informed. Information is power. Until we meet again. Peace.